Hallelujah. Come on, can we put our hands together and give a great God a great praise on today? We bless God. We give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Listen, I don't know everything, but one thing I know for certain is that without God, I am and can do absolutely nothing. But with God, I can do all things. And so I give God glory and honor on today. Come on, while we are celebrating, can we celebrate the tremendous leadership that God has blessed the bridge with? Come on, we honor your lead pastors today, Pastor Edwin, Lady Ariel, to the entire pastoral team and leadership staff. Listen, one thing I know is that when you see impactful ministry happening like you all are doing here at the Bridge, it's not just one or two people, but it's a team working together. And so we honor all of the staff, the media team, this awesome praise and worship team, the greeters who were smiling even in the heat in the parking lot. Come on, we celebrate all of you all today. It is indeed our joy and honor to be with you as we celebrate what God is continuing to do. Certainly, I also bring you greetings from my husband and my pastor, the Reverend Dr. Dwight Sherrard Riddick II. And he sends his love, and he will be with you later today and is excited to bring the word as well. All right, are we ready to jump into the word? Let's go. Today, I want to call your attention to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. I just want to lift up verse 6. Grateful for this series that you all have been in as you've been talking about love and joy and all the great things that we have access to and can be through our relationship with Christ. But we can only do it, we can only live the good life because we serve a good, good God. Psalm 23, beginning, we'll actually lift up just that one verse, verse number 6. Whatever translation you have is a good one, and many of you may have not even needed to click or find, or you may be able to even recite it off the top of your head. Psalm 23 and 6 says this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On your way to your seat, can you just look at your worshiping neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got backup. You may take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I want you to touch yourself and say, I've got backup. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, our Father, we bless you, we thank you, we honor you, and we praise you on today. What a joy, what an honor, and what a privilege it is to be in your house this day. We thank you for every song that has been sung, prayer prayed, embrace given, smile shared. God, we just thank you. Thank you for meeting us in this place, and thank you for your presence, Lord God, of freedom that is here. We ask even now that you would speak to these, the hearts and minds of these, your children. I pray, oh God, that this just not be a compilation of words, but I pray that you would penetrate the hearts and minds and spirits of these, your people, that we would leave this place the better for having been in your presence. Oh God, I avail myself now to be used anew and afresh. I thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that makes the difference. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Holy Spirit, speak in this place and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You've got backup. I grew up with two older, very protective brothers. They were always looking out for me, and no matter where I was, whether I wanted them there or not, they were not too far behind. But the truth of the matter is, even though sometimes I would be like, why are you all in my space and in my business? The truth of the matter is, I walked a little taller knowing that they were not too far away. The truth is that many of us embark on assignments in life, but it's something about knowing that you're not alone that brings a particular joy or energy. Now, I don't know about you, but I love game shows. My television actually stays on a couple of stations. You can rest assured it's probably going to be on HGTV, the Food Network, or the game show channel. Game shows are something that I love. And one of the old school throwback shows was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Anybody ever saw Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it's amazing to me because even though Who Wants to Be a Millionaire had some of the most genius brains of people, they were not expected to get to the top or hit the million by themselves. They had what they call lifelines. You could call a friend. You could phone a friend, you could ask the audience and they would do a poll, or you could use a 50-50 where they would take off two of the incorrect answers and leave the two answers, one of them being the right answer, on the board. I thought it was really interesting because while these contestants had to go through rigorous testing to get on the show, they were not expected to hit the big bucks all by themselves. And that's good news for you and I today, because I want to let someone know, yes, you are smart. Yes, you are gifted. Yes, you have accomplished some things, but you also have to know that you cannot fulfill all that God has called you to on your own. It's amazing that many of us want to fulfill our God-sized assignments, but we don't incorporate the God that's given the assignment. I want to let you know today that there is a God, the CEO of the universe, who is sitting in the heavenlies, but also comes to where you and I are, who says, listen, yes, I've got greatness in you. Yes, I've got greatness ahead of you. But what I need you to understand is you are not in this thing called life by yourself. You've got backup. You've got somebody. You've got someone. You've got something behind you, pushing you, nudging you. And today the songwriter declares their names are goodness and mercy that are following you. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't have to navigate this crazy, chaotic world by myself. I am glad to know that while I may have read two or three books in my lifetime, I'm glad to know that it's not going to be based on my intellect, based on my social circle, based on my bank account, because even when I may not have everything that I need, I serve a God who says, listen, when you lack, I always have more than enough. My grace is going to be sufficient. Everything you don't know, I know. Everything that's around the next corner, I know. What the economy's gonna do, I may not know, but here's what I do know. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm so glad to know that I don't have to navigate this crazy, chaotic world. I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, but I'm glad to know I'm not in it by myself. So I can walk a little taller. I can smile a little bigger. I can rest a little sounder knowing that I have backup. Songwriter says goodness. Somebody shout goodness. Goodness and mercy are following me. This is significant because many of us use the term good so loosely. That was a good movie. That was a good television show. That was a good meal or a good restaurant. But at the end of the day, nothing compares to the goodness of the Lord that he gives to you and I, not because we've been so good, but because he is a good, good God who's always making a way for his children. It's a good feeling to know that you've got backup. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that if I'm sick, he's better than Medicaid. If I'm thirsty, he's more refreshing than Gatorade. If I'm broke, he'll come through like financial aid. The heart of God is to be good to you and I. Psalm 23:6, David is saying, I've got backup. I'm not walking through life alone. Goodness and mercy are following me. So the question then is, how do I know that I have backup? How do I know that there's this, that the goodness is really going to be with me? I think the psalm writer helps us incredibly. The first thing the psalm writer helps us to understand is that we can have confidence in the goodness of God. Somebody shout confidence. The text starts off with a simple but significant word, surely. Surely goodness and mercy. David doesn't say maybe, hopefully, if I'm lucky, if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I don't check my social media during worship, if I do everything I'm supposed to do. He says, surely, indicating that it's not based on my situation, but on my shepherd. It's not based on what I'm going through, but on the one who is with me. It's not based on what I've done, dotting every I and crossing every T. And this is major because earlier in Psalm 23, we see how the Lord leads, feeds, protects, and restores the psalm writer. So by the time we get to verse 6, David is assured of God's goodness. And I believe that we have some people today here at the Bridge who can honestly say, listen, I'm with David. I may not know every scripture. I may not know all of the particulars of church, but when life gets hard, I can think back to the goodness of God in my life and what he's already done. When I think about the tears that he's wiped away, when I think about the doors that he's already opened, when I think about the direction he's given when I didn't know whether I was coming or going, when I think about all that he's done, the hope that he restored when I wanted to throw in the towel, the love that he shared to my friends and my family, I too can say, surely, as sure as water is wet, surely, as sure as sugar is sweet, surely, I am sure that God is going to come through for me. Is there anybody in the house that has a surely? Because if you're going to really understand the goodness of God and understand that because we have the character of God also in us, the only way that we can be good, have a good life, and accept the goodness of God is by having confidence in the God that we serve. Somebody shout confidence. David says, surely. God's goodness isn't based on your goodness, it's based on his character. So you may not feel good, your situation may not look good, but what doesn't change is the nature of God, and he all by himself is good. Isaiah 40:28, the Lord is the everlasting God. He does not faint or grow weary. So when you walk through valleys, when you walk through storms, when you walk through bad weeks, when you are heartbroken, when you experience confusion, you can say with David, surely. God has a track record that you can trust. I'm a practical preacher, so I want to encourage you. You want to practice this every day. So whenever you start to question, I want you to preach to yourself, encourage yourself. When you begin to wonder, does God love me? I want something in you to rise up and say, surely. Will things get better in my life? Surely. Is God really with me? Surely. Does God have a plan for my life? Surely. Can God handle my problems big and small? Surely. Has God made promises that he is going to come through on? Surely. We've got to begin to develop a confidence in the goodness of God. The psalm writer is confident in the goodness of God when he proclaims surely. But not only is he confident in the goodness of God, today you and I can celebrate that we have backup once we acknowledge the consistency of the goodness of God. Somebody shout consistency. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me how long? all the days of my life. I love it. This is not part-time goodness. This is perpetual, persistent, unrelenting goodness. God's goodness doesn't clock out. Doesn't go on vacation. It follows you when you're in the light. And somebody ought to shout hallelujah that it follows you when you're in the dark. God doesn't get tired of blessing you or coming through on your behalf. I don't know about you, but that excites me because it's consistent. Now, we're not throwing no shade at people, but people even on their best day, with the greatest intentions, can let you down and fall short of your needs and your expectations. But we serve not only a God who's good yesterday, but he was good yesterday, he's good today, and he's still gonna be good tomorrow, because he's a God of consistency, and he doesn't get tired of blessing you. He doesn't get tired of hearing your voice, because there are people who love you, but when they see your name, come on a caller ID, they like, huh, what does she want today? They're not going to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. They love you. But when they get a ding on their phone, because they forgot to silence the notifications, they're hoping a little bit that it's not you again. But the God that we serve is consistent. He says, call unto me. I'm not getting tired of listening to you. Call unto me. I'm not tired of hearing you. Call unto me. What do you need today? How can I bless you today? How can I heal you today? How can I make you whole today? How can I restore you today? How can I give joy to you today? The God that we serve is consistent over and over again. And I don't know about you, but even when we're not consistent, seasons shift and change. And some of us, not here at the Bridge, because y'all under real, real good teaching and preaching, but some people change with the season. So when it's hot, they hot, they on fire. Then it gets cold. You like, anybody seen? The consistency of the goodness of God. I want you to understand this. We, in our language, translate the word used here as follow. But in the Hebrew, the word is accurately more translated, or closely, more closely translated to the word pursue. So it's amazing, because the goodness of God isn't just following us behind like a lost puppy. Is chasing us down like a parent chasing a toddler who's headed for danger. Have you ever seen a parent and their child just darts off real quick, and they're in the midst of a strangers or perhaps even oncoming coming traffic? They see the child is headed in a direction that they shouldn't be going in, and they take off and they go behind it. They are following with intent. They are following with some aggression. They just not like, let me go get my child so they don't get hit by a car. No, they are going with intent. They are going with aggression to save them. That's how God is following after you. God says, look, I have purpose for you. I have destiny for you. God is saying, not only am I a good God, but I've placed goodness in you. And so I've got to make sure that I'm following up on the investment that I've made in you. Come on, somebody. God has invested so much in you. You think all the tears you've cried have been in vain? The devil is a liar. All the fasting you've done, God has seen every fast. God has interpreted every tear. God has been with you in the moments where you didn't even have words to describe how you were feeling. And he's invested so much in you, and he's not gonna allow anything or anyone. So he's checking up on his investment. That's why goodness and mercy are following you, but they are aggressively following you. They're watching every step that you take, so that when you get ready to go the wrong way, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He's aggressively following. Chasing you down. His goodness and mercy are aggressively committed to catching up with you. What love. When David says goodness and mercy shall follow me, it's particularly striking also because he knew what it meant to be pursued. Pastor Battle, David wasn't always pursued by goodness. He'd been pursued by some other things and some other people. He'd been pursued by King Saul, who was jealous of him and tried multiple times to kill him. He was pursued by enemies in battle who hunted and hated him. Even later in his life, his own son Absalom pursued him, trying to take his throne. He's been pursued by some stuff. So when David says goodness and mercy shall follow me, he is flipping the narrative. He is flipping the script. He is changing the conversation. He's saying, I've been chased by some problems. But now I know I'm being chased by God's goodness. I've been chased by those who didn't mean me no good. But now I'm being chased by goodness and mercy. I need you to be as excited about God's goodness following you as you were about the other stuff that you were complaining to God about. God, I can't believe that person turned on me. I can't believe that happened like that. Just like you gave all that nonsense energy, God is saying, now I need you to give energy to who I am and what I'm doing in your life. The same way that you prayed that I would handle all the chaos is the same way I need you to walk in confidence knowing that I've got your back. The same way you were asking questions of if you heard me right and if I'm really with you is the same way I need you to rise up in a holy boldness and a holy faith and keep looking over your shoulder saying, surely goodness and mercy is following me. Not maybe, not potentially, but surely. It's like goodness and mercy are bodyguards behind you. Goodness on one side, mercy on the other side, looking at your enemies like, I wish you would. Don't you walk a little taller when you know that you got that kind of support, that anything that comes up against you, and so you just walk in minding your business. But the truth be told, sometimes they don't even see you. They see what's following you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They see you walking, but what you don't understand is the enemy, he's not really scared of you, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so you come walking in, and you thinking the atmosphere is shifting because you walked in the room. Boo, you and I don't have that much power. But the atmosphere shifted because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. And goodness and mercy are following you. So when your foot hit the room and something just shifted, the conversation changed. And you used to be upset. Why did they just keep talking when I came in? How come it's different when I'm there? That's what you prayed for. That's a good thing. Celebrate, because what's in you is so great and what's following you is so significant. They didn't even see you this time, boo. They saw the greatness and the mercy that was backing you up. That's why when they formed their mouths to get ready to say something crazy, they couldn't even get the right words ready to come out, because goodness and mercy. Was standing behind you as your divine bodyguards. You may not see them, but they're there. Goodness, mercy, you've got backup. Practically every day, I want you to practice writing how you see the goodness of God showing up in your life. Not too long ago, I started at the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Lord was like, I want you to write, Janelle, I want you to think or say or write or put it in your voice recorder on your phone. Every time you see me moving. And I was like, okay. So then it became like a challenge. And so I'm letting y'all into my to my personal conversation with the Lord. So now it's an exciting challenge. It's called I See You, God. And because I'm in the habit of always looking for where God is moving, I'm seeing him in some amazing places, because now my spiritual eyes are literally always looking. And so I can be in the midst of a crazy situation, but I hear the Spirit of the Lord in me saying, do you see me? Do you see me? Can you hear me? Do you feel me? And so I'm like, okay, so now I walk into a room and it might be a dark place, but I'm saying, okay, God, if you sent me here, I'm looking to see how you move. I can be in the midst of a chaotic conversation, but I'm listening not for what the people are saying. I'm listening to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I want to encourage you, my Bridge family. I want to encourage you to begin to look for the goodness of the Lord in your life. Every day when you wake up, I want you to declare, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Today is going to be a good day because I serve a good God. I don't know what's going to happen on my job. I don't know how my kids going to be acting while they out of school for the summer. I don't know any of that. But what I know is that God is good. He's consistently good. He's faithfully good. He cannot lie. He will come through on his promises. And so I'm going to begin to look for and everything. I call it, I see you, God. So in the midst of a situation, I say, I see you, God. And it can be in little things and in large things. You can walk in the grocery store and the Lord reminds you that, oh, you're out of eggs. Okay. So you walk over to the eggs, and what do you know? They're on sale today. I see you, God. And then you send a text message to that person that maybe you haven't been on the best speaking terms with. Just letting them know, hey, thinking about you, pray all is well. And this time they respond. And it might only be with thanks, but they responded. I see you opening the door. I see you, God. You walk in your office, and that person who never speaks to anybody, somehow, for some reason, they said hello to you. You don't gotta then go and engage in a whole 30-minute conversation. They just said hi. But that may have broken the ice. So tomorrow, maybe they'll say a little bit more, and you can say a little bit more. I see you, God. I want you to begin to condition your spiritual eyes and condition your spiritual ears to be able to see and hear what God is doing in your life. God is saying, listen, there's so much distraction. There's so much deception in the world in which we live. I need you to be in tune, because sometimes you'll forget that goodness and mercy are following you because you're distracted by all the noise and the chaos in the world. I see you, God. I see you, and I celebrate your consistency in my life. You've got backup, and you can celebrate the fact that you have backup, number one, because you can have confidence in the goodness of God. David says, surely. Two, you know that you have backup because you can acknowledge the consistency of the goodness of God that is following you and pursuing you all the days of your life. When you know you've got backup, you walk boldly. When you know that you have backup, you can worship freely. When you know that you have backup, you can witness confidently. You can tell others that they too can be followed by goodness and mercy if they know the shepherd. Don't live like someone who's trying to do it on their own. Don't live like someone who has no support. You're not trying to make it on your own. There's no way that you and I can do it, but there's a God who delights in giving gifts to you and I as his children. It makes him happy. I love it. I love how you all honored your leaders for their birthdays and they had smiles on their faces. And God is saying to you today, the same way and even greater, that you bless them and lavish them. He says, I want to lavish my love. I want to lavish my peace. I want to lavish my goodness on you. And he's not giving and then stepping back saying, I hope they appreciate it. No, he's just giving because he wants to see you blessed. Goodness. I'll get ready to leave you with this illustration. There was a little boy, and you've probably seen similar in your grocery stores. There's a little boy in a store with his mom. He was pushing one of those little teeny carts. You know, they hold absolutely nothing, but they're cute. And they make the kids feel like they're doing something. And so the little boy was in the store with his mom, and he was pushing one of the little carts, and she had the real grocery cart behind him. And they were going through the store aisles, and he was feeling so grown up. He was turning around the corners real fast. He thought he was calling the decisions and making all the calls. He said, "Mom, hey, don't worry about that. I'll get it. I'll put it in my cart." So the little boy, he just thinks he is in control, running things. "Hey, Mom, don't forget, you need that bottle of water." "Okay, thanks, son, I'll get it." He's calling the shots. "Don't forget that I ran out of cookies last week, Mom. You need to get some of those too." So he's calling the shots. He's going down the aisles. He's pushing his cart. But if you look really closely, his cart was pretty empty. All the real groceries, the heavy stuff, the necessary stuff, the expensive stuff were in the cart behind him, in Mama's cart. Mom had it the whole time. The little boy thought he was doing a thing, though. "Don't forget, Mommy, that you need detergent to wash the clothes. Don't forget that Daddy said he's out of toothpaste. Don't forget, he's just calling the shots." But she was the one doing the real work, picking up what he couldn't carry, handling all the things that he was thinking and was saying but couldn't really do. And I just stopped by the bridge today to tell somebody, that's really us. We think we're running our own lives. We think we're pushing our carts through this life day after day, through every struggle by ourselves. But if we just glance over our shoulders, we'll see that goodness and mercy have been there with the real cart the whole time, carrying the load that we couldn't carry, handling all the things that were not even in our purview. The next time that you feel overwhelmed or tired or like you're not enough, don't panic, don't worry, don't get stressed out, don't throw in the towel. Just remind yourself, "Oh yeah, I've got backup. I'm not in this thing by myself." Not only do you have to tell yourself that you've got backup, sometimes you have to tell your situation with confidence, "I've got backup. Wait a minute, lack. I've got backup. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Wait a minute, sickness. I've got backup. There is a balm in Gilead, and by his stripes I shall be healed. Wait a minute, shame. I've got backup. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, doubt. I've got backup. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything in his name, he hears us. Wait a minute, low self-esteem. I've got backup. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wait a minute, enemies. I've got backup. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Wait a minute, fear. I've got backup. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Today we celebrate the goodness of God that is following us and chasing us down. You and I have the little cart, but the one that has the big cart, the one that's doing the heavy lifting, the one who's saying, "I've already prepared a way for you," the one who says, "I love you before you even loved me," the one who's saying, "I see what your future looks like, and it looks good." That's the God today who wants you to understand goodness and mercy are following you. Thank you, Lord. Not just haphazardly, but with intent and purpose. And so as you go down from this place and you continue in this series, don't let anybody or anything talk you out of walking in that which God has called you to. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not worthy of living a good life. You're not worthy of walking in the steps that God has ordered for you. Because the truth of the matter is, apart from God, none of us are worthy. But that's not the question today. The question never has been, are we worthy? The question is and remains, is God a good God? And I'm with David. Surely he's gonna come through. Surely he loves you. Surely he wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you could ask or think. Surely he knows all of your idiosyncrasies and all the things that other people don't understand about you. He knows all of it and he still loves you. He says, that's my son. That's my daughter. Goodness and mercy are following them. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And I'm telling you this, with God's Spirit in you and goodness and mercy following you, there's absolutely nothing that you can't do. So lift up your heads. Be encouraged. Don't be distracted. There's a lot of stuff that's going to try to distract you and take you off course and make you think you're not good enough and make you get stressed out. But I want you to say, wait a minute. I would be stressed if I were doing this in my own strength. But I'm not in this battle by myself. Goodness. Come on. Come on. Mercy. Come on. Faithful God, you are with us. And so, Pastor Edwin, I know that there is even more that God is going to continue to do in this house. And sometimes it's probably like, did I hear that right? God, I can't even take that one to the leadership team. But the Lord is saying, surely, goodness and mercy is not only following you all as leaders who've been faithful, but for those who are connected to this body, there ought to be a, don't even look at this just as a series to fill the calendar. Come on, I'm done. This is not just a series that you all are in because the pastoral team didn't know what they were gonna preach. But there's deposits that God is strategically making in you, study after study, worship after worship, sermon after sermon. Just two simple points I need you to get in your spirit. One, I need you to understand, I need you to be confident in the goodness of God. Not people, not things, not possessions, but confident in the goodness of God. And I need you to be able to trust and acknowledge the consistency. God's always moving. God's always speaking. And God's always taking care of you as his child. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. May I pray? I'd like to pray with you just for a moment. Gracious God, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you, and we praise you for who you are. You are a good, good Father. And we thank you, Lord God, because we toss the word good around so much. But there is nothing, Lord God, that can compare to how good you are in our lives. And we thank you that it's not predicated on what we are, what we can understand, or what makes sense to us. But I pray, Lord God, today that because goodness and mercy are following us, because you are the example of what a good God looks like, allow us, Lord God, to tap into what you're doing in our lives so that we, God, can also bear the fruit of goodness, that people may look at our lives and may not even know our names, but because of the goodness they see coming from us, because of the kindness they see coming from us, because we are clearly set apart, may they want to get to know the God that we profess. That's our desire, God. And we can do it not in our own strength, but surely because your spirit lives in us, we can yield the fruit of goodness. And we're confident that not only can we yield this fruit from our lives, but we thank you today that goodness and mercy is following us around every nook and cranny, around every twist and turn, in every uncharted step that we'll take. You're with us, and we thank you for it. So I pray today for every man, woman, boy, or girl, not just under the sound of my voice, but who are connected to this work here at the Bridge. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would continue to do what only you can do. God, give insight, give wisdom, give divine strategies in the name of Jesus. Keep everyone knit together on one accord. I pray, God, that this literally be a fruit stand where individuals come in this place and see the manifestation, God, of your fruit, that they see love and they see joy and they feel your peace and they experience your goodness, not just in word, but they see it manifested in deed. So we receive today, God, what you're doing in this place, and we say thank you. Thank you that you're building on a firm foundation. Thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Thank you today that as your sons and daughters yield themselves to you unapologetically, God, that not only will you manifest in this house, but you'll manifest yourself in their individual houses. That as they go down from this place, they'll feel your love in their homes. They'll feel your peace in their homes. They'll see your goodness in their relationships, not just here or on Sunday, but all the days of their lives. We bless you, we thank you, and we praise you. It's in the holy and precious name of Jesus that we pray and give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Somebody shout, you've